Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Romans chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew, the 8th chapter. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will. Be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This is a bit of a difficult sermon. And I was thinking specifically of you high schoolers when I wrote it. I hope it provokes some discussion among you and all of us. Bach first performed Cantata 156 on the third Sunday of Epiphany, January 23rd, 1529. Bach is, in my view and many others, the greatest musician in the history of the universe other than God. And he really can give God a run for his money on occasion. Actually, Bach believed the catechism just like you. He learned the catechism as a child, Luther's catechism, and he made sure all of his many kids knew it too. And unless you understand the catechism, you can't understand Johann Sebastian Bach at all. Picander composed the words which Bach set to music. "Ich stehe mit einem Fuß im Grabe." I stand with one foot in the grave. Ironically, 200 years later, Adolf Hitler, before coming to power in Germany, suggested the need to kill perhaps 700 to 800,000 unborn children in Germany. He was a social Darwinist, an evolutionist, that is, he believed in evolution and believed in the survival of the fittest, and if it was helped along so that we can kill people who are unworthy to live or don't have the optimal racial characteristics, we can prevent them from populating things in the future instead of the wonderful Aryan race. Some lives were not worth living. In 1939, Hitler gave orders that doctors could begin putting to death people with incurable illnesses and the disabled or the mentally ill. Families who developmentally disabled children were in institutions being cared for began to get notices, many of them, notices that their child or their loved one had died of some mysterious illness. Actually, Hitler had ordered that they begin being killed because they were people not worthy of life. They were disabled. They had Down syndrome. They were mentally ill. 70,273 were killed. Some key Lutheran and Catholic clergy protested publicly, and the murders ceased. Why were some lives ruled not worth living by the Nazis? As we all know, 6 million Jews were murdered, and along with them, hundreds of thousands of Christian political dissidents from Germany and other countries and others. By what justification? Ich stehe mit einem Fuß im Grabe? Because I'm the wrong race? I have the wrong religion? The wrong political views, the wrong parents, the wrong genetic malady. I'm developmentally disabled. My suffering is meaningless. The Nazis thought so. But not Jesus. And behold, a leper came to him, mit einem Fuß im Grabe, with a foot in the grave, I'll tell you. Terrible disease. And knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, you've already got one foot in the grave. Go die, you dog. No, he didn't. He said, I will it. Be clean. And a Roman soldier came and pled with him, just say the word of my servant, mit einem Fuß im Grabe, will be healed. Jesus replied, go, let it be done. And Jesus does it over and again with Jews, pagan Canaanites, mixed race Samaritans, Romans, the immigrant, the religious, the unreligious, the political extremists, the people of various religious parties, the mentally ill, the disabled, the weak, the poor, the rich, even the dead. He loves and he values them all. Why? In 1932, a courageous Lutheran pastor and a very strong friend of the Missouri Synod, Hermann Zasse, who died the year I was confirmed, 1976, was the first one to stand in front of the German world and publicly condemn the Nazi paragraph against Judaism. He did it in the yearbook for all Protestant churches of Germany, which he had served as editor of, and he suffered for this markedly. He said, one can perhaps forgive National Socialism all its theological sins, but this Article 24 excludes any possibility of a dialogue with the church, whether Protestant or Catholic. According to the Lutheran doctrine of original sin, the newborn infant of the noblest Germanic descent, endowed in body and mind with the optimal racial characteristics, is as much subject to eternal damnation as the genetically gravely compromised half-caste from two decadent races. And we must go on to confess that the doctrine of the justification of the sinner by grace alone and by faith alone is the end of Germanic morality. You see, the Nazis said, we'll allow religion as long as it doesn't threaten the German sense of decency and morality. Zasse responds, the doctrine of justification is the end of German morality, just as it is the end of all human morality. We are not much interested in whether the party gives its support to Christianity, but we would like to know whether the church is to be permitted to preach the gospel in the Third Reich without let or hindrance, whether, that is, we will be able to continue undisturbed with our insults to the Germanic or Germanistic moral sense, as with God's help we intend to do. If you know anything of what he faced, the hair on the back of your head goes up. In a day in America when we have seen 61 million abortions since 1973, many because of suspected genetic maladies of a baby, in a day when you're likely to be taught at university that all of life is a result of chance, that there is no God, and certainly no God that can be known. And by the way, make sure you get in touch with your church before you go off to university. Because the facts are, if you don't get to church and start going regularly while you're away at university in the first month, chances are you'll never return to church at all. You will be taught that life is finally meaningless. And when you're dead like any dog or animal. That marriage and gender are not divine creations, that a child that survives an abortion may be strangled to death after birth, as Illinois and New York law allow. That children with Down syndrome have no inherent human right to life, and that suffering is meaningless, and one may commit suicide and be assisted in doing so for any reason. And you behold in our world all kinds of racism, animus, hatred. I propose to you that Zoss reflects, as does Bach, what you just sang says suffering is purposeful for God's purposes. It drives us to Jesus. I propose that Zoss and Jesus and Bach have a totally different view. I propose to you, this is exactly the reason why we have Lutheran schools. And that is this: all people are equally accountable to God under his law. All of us. It applies to all of us. And all people are equally God's creation and are precious to God. All people, no matter who, no matter where, no matter what. And all people, no matter what sins, no matter what failings, no matter what race, no matter what ailments, no matter what maladies, all people are worth the precious blood of Jesus on the cross. The gospel is for all, for he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And if Jesus so serves you and all others, and this is why we have Lutheran schools, if Jesus so serves you and all others, a meaningful, profound, and joyous life is found in serving others as well, just like Jesus did. Indeed, we have one foot in the grave in this life, but with Bach, we confess we are God's own creation, beloved by him, who deals with us even in suffering, according to his mercy and goodwill. And all suffering is purposeful, just like the cross of Jesus, and serves to drive us to him, that we may live with him eternally. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the short-term team from Lord of Life Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas, who serve the Lord in the Dominican Republic. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.